Study through the book of Proverbs that we've been doing. It's Thanksgiving week, and we thought we'd have a Thanksgiving message. We asked the Sonoda family if they would come, and John could give the message. They said yes, so I'm very happy to have them here today, and he's going to be sharing with us. We have a lot of connections with the Sonoda family. You've probably seen them off and on in the last few years. He's going to go ahead and give a little update at the beginning of what's going on in their lives, and then a Thanksgiving message. John.
Thank you. Well, I'm very thankful to be here with you all this morning. It's always a blessing when I get to come and spend a little bit of time with you guys and fellowship with you around the Lord. So thanks to the elders for inviting us, and I just really am thankful to the Lord for this opportunity. I bring greetings from our church fellowship in Boise, Idaho. That's where the Lord has us right now. After being sent out from there as missionaries to Turkey in 2009, we served there for 7 years, and then the Lord directed our path to come back to the States, and we couldn't get our visas to live in the city of Antioch where we were ministering. And so we've been there since 2016, so it's been 3 years now back in Boise, and the Lord has graciously given us the opportunity and the joy to then plug in at our home church there and be ministering there. I serve as a full-time worker in doing preaching and youth group and leading music and anything else that the Lord opens up, and it's just been a joy to be serving there. Some other new things that have happened recently is we have Jerry and Sarah Maddox, who you all know and love. Their eldest daughter, Ishael, has come to live with us for her senior year of high school. And so it's been a joy to have her as part of our family these past couple months. And also, we have begun being seeking to be used by the Lord in the arena of providing foster care in our area. And so the Lord has opened up doors that way as well. And I know there are many of you who are or have been involved in that way, and I praise the Lord for that. In fact, it was the Lord used Gene and Curry Cole in a huge way. All the way back when my wife was 17 years old, she spent some time here at the fellowship and got to know the Coles and spent a lot of time with Curry. And the Lord, way back then, planted that seed in her heart of just seeing Curry interact with the foster babies and families. And the Lord brought that seed to fruition just in this past year in guiding us in that way. So we are very happy to be ministering in Boise, Idaho, until the Lord directs our path elsewhere. So that's what we are up to now. So this morning, in the Thanksgiving message, it's going to be looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 through 36. And I'd like it to be an exhortation to be thanksgivers this Thanksgiving. Now, my family has a lot of traditions associated with Thanksgiving. I'm sure you all do as well. Growing up, it was all about the four F's in our family after the main reason of Thanksgiving, which is to give thanks to God. But some of the traditions that we had were family, friends, food, and football. And in Turkey, when we moved to Turkey, we tried to continue with my family, tried to continue some of those traditions. And when you think about moving to the mission field, you would think, well, there goes celebrating Thanksgiving with family, right? But we were totally blessed to be in the same country as the Maddoxes, my wife's sister, Sarah. And so we did. We were able to spend Thanksgiving with family, even though we were living in another country. And that was a huge blessing until they got kicked out of Turkey. And you know what? Despite living in a country called Turkey, they were hard to find, meaning turkeys. Turkeys were hard to find. They sometimes brought them out for their New Year's celebration, but it was very rare to find a turkey. You couldn't just go to a store and find a turkey any time of the year. And so for a long time, it was just chickens for us. But then another missionary who was serving there let us in on a little secret of where you could find a turkey in the area, and you had to order it like weeks in advance. So we were finally able to find turkeys, and you know, they weren't the nice butterball, you know, really big ones, kind of scrawny looking ones, but we were thankful to have turkey for Thanksgiving. And no American football, lots of other football, but no American football. We were able to stream some games, so that was fun. So those types of traditions are really fun and enjoyable. But as you all know, and what I just want to remind us again of this morning, is that that's not the point of Thanksgiving. Those are fun, those are good, those are enjoyable, and we can thank the Lord for those things. I thank the Lord for football. In fact, if any of you are checking the score of the game right now, I've been a Seahawks fan since I was 5 years old, so no judgment from me. If hopefully the preacher will finish not too long, and then we can catch the end of the game. But there's a real danger in the culture that we live in, which is so consumer, so me-focused, that Thanksgiving becomes just a time to eat, drink, and be merry, which is how it's treated by, I think, most of the people around us, most of our culture. But that's not what it is, not what it should be. It should be a time to be thanksgivers, to give thanks to the Lord. And it's not something that we as the Lord's people should only be doing on the fourth Thursday of November, right? We should be thankful every day. We should be giving thanks every day to the Lord. So I invite you to open up to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is a scene. The scene here is a day of thanksgiving in Jerusalem. And we're going to key off of especially verse 4, which lists some important parts, three parts of Thanksgiving, or three layers, we could say, of Thanksgiving, of giving thanks. Key off of those three things, and then see how in the song of Thanksgiving that follows, they are illustrated. So, let's go ahead and read through our passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 1. And they brought in the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and second to him were Zechariah, Jael, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael, who were to play harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. And then the song. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises. Tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When you were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, and let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. Father, as we come before you this morning and turn to your word, we pray that your spirit would help us to understand it. Help us to rejoice in your goodness, O Lord. I pray that your word would make an impact in our lives this morning that would help us to really be rejuvenated, refocused, and very thankful as we approach our National Day of Thanksgiving. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scene here in verses 1 through 7 is a day of thanksgiving, and they were celebrating the Ark of the Lord coming to Jerusalem, David's newly established center of his kingdom. The Ark of God coming to Jerusalem. It was the visible symbol of the presence of the invisible God coming to be with his people in their midst. And then you know what? 1,000 years later, there would be another celebration of God's presence coming, but it wouldn't be represented by an ark. It wouldn't be in a cloud of fire or a pillar of smoke. It would be God taking on flesh, coming as a man. And it was celebrated. And there was a song sung, but it wasn't by Levites. It was by an angelic choir. And it would be celebrated, but not by a king in his court, but by shepherds in a barn. This day truly was a day of thanksgiving there in Jerusalem. It was a celebration. And so, of course, they had to have food, right? So they had a feast. David offered burnt offerings to the Lord, and then he also offered peace offerings. And of those peace offerings, some a portion was offered to the Lord, but then the offerer could also partake of those. And so David then distributed portions of the meat to all the men and women of Israel. So you get this picture of this day of thanksgiving and a feast and the Lord inviting his people to the Thanksgiving feast table and sharing in that meal together. So they had on the menu in verse 3, they had bread, right? So that's, we have rolls for our Thanksgiving dinner. They had meat. It wasn't turkey, but they had meat. And then instead of pumpkin pie for dessert, they had raisin cakes. And then they also had music. They had a song, and they had singing, and they had instruments. They had a band, Levites, appointed by David, as we see in verse 4, to be ministers before the ark. And then in verse 4, it says to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph, he was the choir master. He was the chief musician. So if you go to the book of Psalms and you look at those inscriptions right before the psalm, a lot of them will say something, something, something to the choir master or the chief musician. And Asaph was the dude. He was the chief musician. The band had strings, percussion, and horns. I mean, that's what we had this morning, right? Praise God. And then he appointed them to sing this beautiful song of thanksgiving. And it includes the three parts or the three layers that they were doing in verse 4. So that's what we're going to be keying off of now. So the first is they were to invoke. Now, in the ESV, the word invoke is used, and it's not the idea of like them doing some kind of chant or this singing or some type of ritual to like call forth the presence of God. That's not what they were doing, and that really doesn't fit in well with any other picture that we get in Scripture of like by our efforts we have to somehow invoke God's presence. That's not what was going on. Other translations will say celebrate, extol, commemorate. But the Hebrew word used here most often is just translated remember. And in fact, we see that in the song that follows. It's most often translated remember. Bring can also have the idea of bring to remembrance, bring to remembrance. And so they were bringing to remembrance what the Lord had done. And we see that clearly, right, in the song. Look at verse 12. Remember, this is the same word used in verse 4. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. They were remembering, bringing to remembrance the wondrous works that God had done. Also in verse 15, remember his covenant. So they were also remembering the covenant, bringing God's covenant with Israel to mind as they were beginning to give thanks. The covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to inherit the promised land. And then in verses 19 through 20, they rehearse how the Lord had provided for them and protected them to accomplish and to keep his covenant with them. So, as we go into our celebration of Thanksgiving and to be thanksgivers, we also need to remember. We need to remember the wondrous works that God has done. And you know, we live in such a crazy, fast-paced, busy, complicated society that often it's not too easy to remember, because it really does take time to slow down and to think. And a lot of us probably aren't very good at that because we're so driven and got to do this, got to go there. It's so much to do. But we really do need to take time and effort to remember the wondrous works that God has done. Ruth's family, my wife Ruth, her family growing up had a Thanksgiving tradition of all throughout the year they would have what they called a blessing bucket. And they would, whenever something happened throughout the year that they were really thankful for, wanted to praise the Lord for, they would write it down and then stick it in the blessing bucket. And then come Thanksgiving time, they would open that back up and read all the wondrous works that the Lord had done that year. And that was a great tool for them to be able to do this part, a helpful tool to help them remember, because it's easy to forget, right? So Unfortunately, my family, we haven't done that tradition, but we would like to. We always talk about doing it when Thanksgiving comes around, and we always forget. But maybe this year is the year, and if it sticks with any of you, hey, praise God, that would be great. But it's good to build things into our lives that help us to slow down, remember the wondrous things that the Lord has done. We as the church remember God's covenant with us. They were remembering the Abrahamic covenant, but the Lord has given us a new covenant. And that's something that we remembered this morning. We have the opportunity at this fellowship to remember every week the new covenant, which, as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 11:23, was ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that on the night that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so we have the joy of having that built into our busy lives too, of having the opportunity every week to say, "I'm going to slow down and I'm going to remember the new covenant that the Lord has." And there's no greater wondrous work, right, that we can celebrate. Anyway, we heard that from Brother Jim Dobby this morning, of someone coming to faith in Christ, of partaking now of that new covenant. There's no more wondrous work ever than that. And so that's a great cause to be thankful. That's the best. And so if you're here today and you haven't believed in Jesus, if you are not a partaker of that new covenant, then I would urge you to believe in Jesus. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and that there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. He did it all. And on the third day, he rose again. And you, by grace, through faith in believing in Jesus, can be saved from your sin. You can become a new creation, as we also heard about this morning. And then you too can have the most wonderful reason to give thanks to the Lord this Thanksgiving. As we remember the wondrous works that the Lord has done, then that leads us to give thanks, the second part or the second layer, to thank. Give thanks, which has the idea of making a public confession, usually in the context of a community. And that certainly was the case here, right? It was a song in the presence of a song of thanksgiving in the presence of all of the community. We see in verse 8, says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name." And then on the other side in verse 34, so we have bookends here, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." So it marks it off as truly a song of thanksgiving. And it certainly was in the context of the community, because in verse 36, it says, "Then all the people," after they were done singing, "then all the people said, amen." So it was in the context of community. So as we remember, as we take the time to slow down and just remember, wow, God, you have done some amazing things. then the idea is not to let it stop there. That's an important part, and that's what we need to do. Because if we don't remember, we can't give thanks, right, for what we don't remember. But then we're to give thanks. And it has the idea of in public, making a public proclamation in the context of community. So I would exhort us all this Thanksgiving to be sprinklers and not sponges. Right? So what does a sprinkler do with water? It gets the water and then it spreads it. Right? And that's what we should be doing. As we remember the wondrous works of the Lord, we should be telling other people about it. And you have the opportunity to do that probably if you gathered around a Thanksgiving table with friends and family or whoever. But let's not be a sponge. What does a sponge do with water? It just kind of holds it all in, right? Let's be sprinklers and not sponges. Let's give thanks to the Lord as we remember his wondrous works. Now, I know speaking even to one other person is not easy for everyone. And so I don't want to disregard that or take that lightly, because it's not comfortable sometimes for people to actually, in front of even one other person, share something from the heart. That is a reality, and I don't want to overlook that. But at the same time, I would ask the question, what is more important, my comfort or God's glory? Because ultimately, giving thanks is about bringing praise and glory to God. And it's great to remember and from our hearts to give him thanks and praise. But if I share what I'm thankful for with at least one other person, I've already doubled the amount of people who can then praise God for what he's done. So even if it's a little hard for some of us to, you know, speak to other people, I would just encourage us to rely on the Lord and his grace and just, you know, really ask ourselves the question, well, what's more important, my comfort or God's glory? And it, you know, it doesn't have to be this really fancy speech or beautiful song like we have here, right? It just needs to be from a heart so full of remembering what the Lord has done and so thankful that it just overflows. That is what will result in real praise, which is the next element, the next part of giving thanks. As we remember the wondrous works of the Lord, and then as we proclaim it in giving thanks, then that leads us to praise, and anyone around us, hopefully, to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord, to speak words about the greatness and excellence of someone. We see that in verses really all throughout the song, but it really focuses in on verses 24 through 29. Verses 24 through 29. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Down in 27. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. 28. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the earth. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. So remembering the wondrous works of the Lord and then giving thanks for what he's done then ultimately should lead us to praise him. Not just thank him for what he's done, or praise him for the works he's done, but praise him for who he is. Praise him for his greatness, his glory, his excellence. Declare his glory. Look at verse 25 again. We see that The greatness of the object determines the greatness of the praise. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Guys, our Lord is infinitely great. So, therefore, he is worthy of all of our praise. We cannot exhaust his praise because he is great. He is the Lord God Almighty. Literally, no one can exhaust the praise that he is due. And we see this illustrated in Isaiah and then in Revelation. You remember Isaiah in chapter 6 when he had his vision of the throne room of heaven and the temple filling with smoke and the glory of God, and he saw these six-winged beings before God's throne, and they were praising and they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Nearly a millennia later, in our time, nearly a millennia later, the Apostle John has a vision of the throne room of God. And what does he see there? He sees these six-winged creatures before God's throne. And what are they singing? They're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And it says there that that night and day, day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy." We see that happening in Isaiah's time. We see that happening in John's vision. And so, unceasingly, night and day, for almost a millennia, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We cannot exhaust God's praise. He is that great. He's infinitely great. And so we should be praising him all the time. We should be praising him all the time. But there's something that hinders us from doing that. And it's kind of like what we're focused on. We see that illustrated in this story, in fact. In the account of this same story of the ark coming to Jerusalem and the celebration in 2 Samuel 6, says, "As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself.' And David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as a prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. And I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will make myself yet more contemptible than this. And I will be abased in your eyes, but by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor.' And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death." So our praise of the Lord can be hindered by what we're focused on. It was for Michal. What did she see when the ark was coming in? It says, and she saw David and those around David. That was what she was focused on. And what did that produce in her? It wasn't praise. She despised David. So it didn't result in praise. It also resulted in missing out on blessing. What was David focused on? It was before the Lord. That was his focus. He wasn't looking at the people around him. He was focused on the Lord. And my brothers and sisters, that needs to be our focus. So that we praise him. We shouldn't be focused on ourselves, like having a mirror, right? Looking at me, blocking the Lord. We shouldn't be focused on others, right? Getting in the way of, we should be looking at the Lord. We should be focused on him. So that it's not about what others are doing around us. It's not about myself and what I'm feeling or what I want. But our focus is so much on the Lord that all that other stuff just goes away. And it results in praise of his glory. So let's focus on the Lord. All right, so this Thanksgiving, let's remember today, tomorrow, sometime this week before you gather around the table, if that's what you're going to do, take some time, take some serious time to just be quiet, turn off the phone, no computer, no nothing, just be with the Lord, give yourself some time and space with the Word, and just think back of this year. Lord, help me to remember the wondrous works that you have done this year. And of course, if you know the Lord is your Savior, that's the biggest one right there. Take the time to remember. And then as you remember, then make it a point. Even if it's difficult, I would encourage you, make it a point to share with at least one other person what you're thankful for. So that not only you, but they then can, as they see and remember what the Lord has done, overflow with praise to the Lord. Let's be thanksgivers this Thanksgiving. We'll close in prayer, and then after that, we will be dismissed by singing the doxology. Oh, Father, we have so much to be thankful for, most of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you gave your Son for us. We thank you that because of what he has done, we can be saved from our sin. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us in this country, and there's so many. We have so much to be thankful for. Oh, Lord, I do pray that each one of us would really be intentional this Thanksgiving to be a thanksgiver, and that would really, that you would use that by your grace to make an impact in the community around us so that your great name may be praised and that you would be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Agate family to include us in their tradition. Sing the doxology.